There's been no shortage of reactions from the art and music worlds to the current state of American politics broadly and the Trump administration specifically. But my next guest argues the reaction this time is different than in the past. Spencer Kornhaber is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where he writes about popular culture. He's the author of a piece called Pop Culture's Failure to Rage, and he joins me via Skype. And Spencer, first off, sort of give me the thumbnail version of your argument.
Yeah. Well, so this article came out of, you know, me working as a music critic in the first year and a half of the Trump administration, and just kind of naturally ending up reviewing a lot of albums and songs that touch on, you know, Trump or politics more generally, and noticing that there was kind of a similar quality to all of them, which is not what we think of as the traditional protest song mode, which, you know, the traditionally we think of Rage Against the Machine or Bob Dylan kind of sneering at the older generation and really having a rallying call or a critique. The music under the Trump administration, in large part, has been more introspective, emotional, kind of about how it feels basically to be a liberal and still reeling from what happened in 2016 and feeling depressed about the country around you and really about not knowing what to do about it.
Well, as you write, you know, there were a lot of, you know, musicians and other, you know, sort of celebrities that were involved in the 2016 campaign. Most were on the side of Hillary Clinton, and she still lost. Do you get the sense that that is sort of causing some thinking about what a celebrity's role is, or maybe what a celebrity's impact might be?
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a growing understanding that pop culture and celebrity world are not bystanders in politics. And this works in a few ways, but Donald Trump came out of the entertainment world in many ways. It's kind of where he made his name in a lot of ways. And at the same time, he's running against popular culture. He's regularly calling out celebrities who critique him. He kind of takes the role of speaking for people who feel alienated by the singers who are already popular. And so when those singers are trying to speak out against him, they probably are now realizing that they have a hard time reaching the people who support Trump.
Does that speak to the maybe a larger issue as well, where if some of those artists are having trouble speaking to Trump supporters, that could cause problems for their careers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really active live issue right now, whether how political a pop star or an entertainer can be, whether they have to think about balancing their messages with their broad appeal.
Is it possible, do you think, that what we're seeing now and what you write about and what you've observed is just sort of the evolution of protest music and protest art, that this is just the way it's going to be done now going forward?
Well, it's a good question, and it's obviously hard to generalize about this because, popular culture is very wide, the arts are very wide, people have all sorts of reactions, and if you look in different genres, they're reacting in different ways. But, I mean, certainly, as we talked about in 2016, it seemed like we were doing something different in pop culture, and if we've swung one way now, there's no reason to think it wouldn't swing again. And you look at somewhere like hip-hop or rap, those are genres that have kind of are intrinsically political and have only become more overtly political in recent years. And that hasn't slowed down under Trump. So, you know, it works in different ways in different corners.
Well, and it's interesting you bring that up, because one of the things that you write about is, and you mentioned it, is how a lot of the protest art and music is more introspective and maybe not quite as angry as it has in the past. But then you have someone like Donald Glover with his Childish Gambino, This Is America video, which seems very angry and very sort of not subtle about what it's trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a fascinating example. I mean, he has probably made the most important piece of protest art of this era so far. And it absolutely is not, I mean, it's definitely not explicitly about Donald Trump. It's not about the Trump administration. It's not necessarily, it's not even about like now. It's about what America has been for a long time. You know, it makes a lot of historical references in that video. So I think part of the way that an artist can really land an effective protest is by maybe stepping out of the moment and, you know, not getting into this sort of firefight with Donald Trump.
So as we head into this year's midterm elections and then the presidential election in 2020, how do you expect things to change or evolve between now and then?
Yeah, I'm really curious about this midterm because I don't sense any interest in the culture about the swing elections. Like, it's just no one's talking about it right now. And now maybe that's because we're still a couple months away from when people might start caring about a congressional election. But I don't know. I'm not hearing a lot of interest. And given that pop culture has been so politically engaged, it's really might be a test of whether it's just all, you know, about emotional affect and about thinking about their feelings and you know, railing against kind of the big bad Donald Trump without actually connecting it to any sort of political project or on the ground activism. I'm really curious to see whether we will see more direct engagement in the next couple of months.
Spencer Kornhaber is a staff writer at The Atlantic and author of Pop Culture's Failure to Rage. Spencer, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.